This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
This morning, I'm excited to be able to bring a message to you. My message title is Kill the Giant. So I want to make sure we're all awake. Turn to the person next to you and say, kill that giant. Go ahead. It's all right to talk to people in church. It's all good. Hey, as we talk about the word giant today, sometimes our minds think all kinds of things. The way I define that today is something that's too big for you to overcome on your own. Something that's just too big, it takes too much effort. It's too strong, and you need some help. There's a guy named Bob who was dealing with this. He had a giant, and his giant was that he forgot his anniversary. Not a good thing to do. And his wife was furious at him. She looked at him. She goes, Bob, when I go out tomorrow on my driveway, there better be something that goes 0 to 200 in 2 seconds flat, and it better be fast. And he was like, okay. And he put his head down and kind of walked away, and he was sad. Well, the next morning, she was expecting that, so she looked out, and, you know, she opened the window, and she saw this beautiful gift out there. She's like, wow, okay. She went out there and checked it out, opened it up, and what was the gift? It was a bathroom scale, okay? And Bob hasn't been seen ever since then. So if you see Bob, yeah, that's... You know, when we talk about giants, what I found in my life is giants come in all different shapes and sizes. And rarely do they ever come when you expect them. I'll tell you just kind of recently, one off the top of my head I was mowing the yard just recently, and I felt something bite me. It kind of hurt, but, you know, as men, we just kind of move on, right? That's the right thing to do. And I just kept mowing, finished the yard. I'm not going to let something biting me stop me. And a couple hours later, though, my finger really started hurting. And all of a sudden it started throbbing. I tried to, you know, disinfect it and try to get it right, but it just kept like blowing up. It literally kept swelling. And for those that are like easily, nauseous, you're not going to want to look at this. But for those that are brave, take a look. I'll show you a picture about 3 hours into this, right? So that thing is just nasty. I don't even want to see that anymore. That's just disgusting. All right. So that happened to me. Well, you know, I'm over here praying about it. I'm like, all right, God, you know, help me, you know. And I wake up the next morning, and it was about 3 times that size, okay? Let me tell you, I don't like going to the doctor, okay? Every man, raise your hand. We don't like going to the doctors, okay? We just don't, all right? And I didn't want to go to the doctor, but this is just kind of a real-life example of it was a giant. I didn't know what else to do. I literally could not do anything to get the swelling down. And I had to go to urgent care, and they cut it open and take all this. End up being got bit by a brown recluse, apparently, and that was nasty. But you know, in my life, I face giants. We all face giants. For those that are Dallas Cowboy fans, you understand the term giant, right? You understand. This is my first Dallas Cowboy shot of this message. Okay, you understand that you understand this concept. And a word to define the Dallas Cowboys giant is called playoffs. Right? That's your giant. Or maybe another word would be recent Super Bowl victories. Right? Those are all giants. And okay, I'm done with that. If you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, all right. I felt like that needed to be said. Alan was here. Somebody's got to say it. Well, I deemed it myself. Okay, but you know, kind of on a serious note though. I believe every single one of us, we came in here, myself included. I've got about 3 giants in my life right now that I'm aware of. And I believe every one of us walked in this room with giants. I believe every one of you came. Some of you, you may be thinking about it right now. You're like, okay, I'm going to be respectful. I'm going to pay attention. But you're actually thinking about that giant. Some of you had a hard time sleeping last night because you have a giant in your life. And for some of you, it may be something having to do with your finances. You weren't expecting a bill that came in the mail. You're like, how am I going to deal with this? This just seems too big for me. Some of you, maybe it may be your marriage. You're trying to make this thing work, but you're just like, I just don't know what to do anymore. You know, there are all kinds of giants we face. Sometimes I've found this with my children. You know, what am I going to do? I just don't know what to do. Why are they going this way? You know, what? Lord, help me. We all face giants. And this morning, before we get started, I just want us to kind of have like a real moment with each other. And I just want to ask the question, what's your giant? What's your giant this morning? You don't have to say it out loud. I don't have to know. Lord knows, just between you and him. But what is it? Have you identified that? Have you called it out? Have you called it as it is? I believe every one of us do. Again, like I said, I've got 3 things right now that are enormous, that are too big for me to handle in my mind. But I want to follow that up with another question. How much different would your life be if you were to overcome that giant? Think about how much better things would be. The reason I say that is because I believe God has called every person in this room to be what we call giant killers. I truly believe every single one of us in this room, you may not feel like it, you may not totally believe it, but with God, all things are possible. God is with you, he's on your side, and we're going to talk about that today. And through God's help, you can overcome that giant. This morning, we're going to look at a guy named David, and it's a classic story, David and Goliath. I'm going to probably tell it a little bit different than you've heard before, but I'm going to set the scene before David comes in. And at this time, there were the Philistines and there were the Israelites, and they were kind of, you know, rivals, so to speak. And, you know, you had the Philistines over here talking all this garbage to the Israelites, and they're getting ready to do battle. And all of a sudden, the Philistines sent out, it was a brilliant tactic, this intimidation tactic in the form of this giant named Goliath. And we know he was about 9 feet tall, and he's just the absolute beast. He comes out, he's in all of his armor, and he starts taunting the Israelites. Well, naturally, the Israelites should follow suit. And they should send out their top warrior. And their top warrior at that time would have probably been the king, Saul. The Bible describes him as a guy who was a head, you know, taller than everyone. So he stood out. But here's the thing about Saul. He didn't go out. Because Saul was stricken with fear. And now there's no person to come and match Goliath. And we know in leadership, for those that study leadership, everything in rises and falls, what? With leadership. That's how it goes. If your organization's doing well, I guarantee it has something to do with your leader. If it's not doing well, it probably has something to do with your leader. And because of Saul and his lack of leadership, he let fear paralyze him. Guess what happened to all the Israelites? They were stricken with fear as well. That's how it works. So now you've got this terrible scenario where all the Israelites are panicking. They're worried, full of anxiety. You got the Philistines over here who are against God, who are anti-God, and they're feeling encouraged and charged up. And David arrives on this scene, and he didn't know all that was going on. But have you ever walked into a room before and it was just kind of like an awkward vibe before? Have you ever had that? You walk in, you're like, what happened? Like, did somebody get fired? Or like, is, you know, what is going on here? Was there like a fight, an argument? I can kind of imagine David walked in and like everybody's quiet. Everybody's kind of got their head down. He's like, what is happening? I just arrived at the battlefield. And he was there to bring some food to his brothers. And he starts asking around, kind of trying to figure out what's going on. And he realizes, okay, apparently there's this giant out here and everybody's scared. So my personal opinion, I think most people naturally in that scenario, would they want to go and fight or would they run? I think most people would leave that food right there. Hey guys, here's your food and I'm just going to go ahead and take off. I think that's what probably a lot of people would do. Not David though. David didn't, and we're going to find out why he didn't. So this is where we pick up in 1 Samuel. So let's look at it together. Scripture says this, and this is David coming to Saul. He says, don't worry about this Philistine. Don't worry. Yeah, right? I mean, the irony of that statement. Don't worry. David told Saul, I'll go fight him. So here's how Saul responds. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. It's interesting to see he's comparing him. Just a side note, and comparison is never a healthy thing. The only time it's ever healthy for us to compare ourselves to someone else is when we compare the size of our God to our problem. Outside of that, comparison is almost always something that results in despair. So kind of a catchy little saying that I say a lot is, whenever you compare, you'll always despair. And this is what Saul's doing here. He's comparing. You can't go fight Goliath. Well, what's the deal, Saul? Think about the hypocrisy here. Saul, you're not willing to go fight Goliath, but yet you're telling someone else that they can as well? And a lot of times that's how fear works. It's irrational, right? You feel like you can't do it, so you don't want to allow any. And Saul's in this moment of just fear. So look what happens. But David persisted. I love this. David could have just been like, okay, you're right. He persisted. He had something to him. He says, I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. If Saul probably heard that, he's like, really? You're gonna throw out the sheep and the goats? Like, you're looking at Goliath, really? But here's what he says. He said, when a lion or bear came to steal a lamb from the flock, I'd go after it with a club. That's pretty bold, chasing a lion, and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. Okay, David, I like that. Here's what he says. He says, I've done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too. For he's defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. Saul finally consented. All right, he said, go ahead. May the Lord be with you. It was interesting. Was God not with every one of the Israelites that day? Was he not there? Was God not a part of every one of the Israelites? Was he not with every one of them? Of course he was. What's interesting is, even though God was there, nobody recognized it. Isn't that interesting? God was there. He was with them, yet no one chose to recognize it. The only person that recognized it was an outside source, which is why a lot of times we have consultants come in, right? Consultants come in, they have kind of fresh perspective. But David came in, he's looking at these, he's going, guys, what are you doing? We can do this because God is on our side. See, it's one thing to say that you believe in God. It's another thing to have a conviction. David had a deep conviction. He believed. How do we develop conviction? What does the scripture say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the more that you hear the word of God, doesn't just have to be now, it can be podcasts, it can be reading your Bible, but the more you hear it, the more faith you develop. So that's what's happening. So David's in this place. He's full of faith. Everybody else is scared. God is with everyone. yet no one recognizes it. And David is the only one who goes, all right, if y'all ain't getting it, I'm going to do something about it. Let me show you a couple scriptures, because sometimes we feel like we're like, okay, Brandon, that's nice. God's with like the pastors and like the spiritual people, and you don't know what I did last night, and he's with, and God's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You may not realize, but I'm with you. If you're in this room right now, God is with you. And even though our brains can't fully comprehend it, I kind of wish I understood more what it actually looks like. The scripture says he's actually beside us. You know, I don't know if he's, you know, how exactly that looks, but what we know and we believe is that God's beside us. I want to show you a couple scriptures that show this from Joshua and Hebrews. Here's what they say. Joshua says, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. That is a great promise. That is awesome. For the same way I was with Moses, I will never fail you or abandon you. Sometimes we look at these scriptures and we're like, oh, that's nice for them. But what this reveals is the character of God. God is never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's never going to abandon you. Look what Hebrews tells us. Let's put it up. It says, don't love money. That's good advice. Be satisfied with what you have. Even better advice. But God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. You see this? We have it in the Old Testament. We have it in the New Testament. God is saying, hey, it may not feel like I'm with you, but believe me, I am. I haven't left you. I'm right by your side. And here's kind of our main thought for today. If you're a note taker, you kind of like main points and things of that nature. David recognized that God beside him was greater than the giant in front of him. David recognized that as big and as nasty and as real as that giant was out there, God beside him was stronger. And that was what gave him the courage. He didn't have courage on his own. Sometimes we think, oh, that's just a strong personality, or that person's just, you know. No, no, no. The secret to fighting giants is recognizing that you got God on your side. The secret to fighting giants is knowing that God hasn't left you. He's bigger, stronger, more powerful than that giant, and he's going to help you defeat that giant. Let me ask you a question. What would happen in your life if you had that same conviction that David had? What would happen in our lives if we had the same conviction that God was beside us everywhere that we went? What would you attempt to do? What would you go out there and be willing to try? Think about that. Oftentimes, we let failure and the potential of failure stop us. Oftentimes, we let giants stop us. But David, he pushed all that aside because he knew no matter what he came up against, God on his side was bigger. Wow. So Saul's now, you got to imagine, he's feeling terrible. He's got this, basically this kid about to come out there and show him up, and he probably didn't think that he was going to beat the giant. But so he tries to give him his armor, and David's like, no, I don't want your armor. Keep your armor to yourself. You're not even using it, so you can keep it, you know, nice and wonderful over there. And David, he goes and he picks up 5 stones, and we pick up right where David's about to fight Goliath. And here's what the scripture says. It says, David replied to the Philistine, you come at me with a sword. Oh, this is some of the origin of trash talk, okay? So get ready for some trash talk here, okay? It says, you come at me with a sword, spear, and javelin, but I come at you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. I like it. He's coming out strong. He says, today the Lord will conquer you. Isn't that interesting? Today the Lord will conquer you. Today you're not going to defeat that giant on your own, but the Lord will defeat that giant. Y'all with me? That's what he says. He says, today the Lord will conquer you and I will kill you and cut off your head. In other words, we're going to work together. God's going to conquer you. I'm going to kill you and cut off your head. How's he going to do it? He's going to use Goliath's own sword. I love it. That's some trash talk right there, all right? And he says, I'm going to give the, oh boy, we take it to another level. He says, then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals. And the whole world will know that there's a God in Israel. Okay, David. And he says, and everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. I love this. The idea here is this, guys, that we have a victory that's coming to us because we have God on our side. The God beside us is greater than the giant in front of us. Sometimes we just got to remember that. We've got a great big God on our side. There is nothing that we can't overcome. It's not just a God who just kind of passively goes with us. He fights for us. He fights with us. We're going to talk about that in a second, but I want to give you 3 quick application points today. Because I believe, I truly believe all of us in some way, fashion, or form are fighting giants today. So let me give you some application here. Here's the first thing that we need to do. The first thing is that we need to recognize that God has already prepared you for this moment. God has already prepared you for this giant. You may say, Brandon, what do you mean by that? Well, if we look back in what David said the first time when we looked at that scripture, do you notice that he didn't just say, I'm ready for this giant? Notice what he said. I've already fought. What did he say? I've already fought a lion. I fought a bear, and now I'm ready. In our lives, we can't forget the lions and bears that we've previously conquered before this giant came. Some of you may have forgotten a couple years ago, 3 years ago, when God did something incredible in your life. You ever done this before? God, if you only, and then you fill in the blank, right? Or God, I promise if you, right, then I'll, right? How often have we done that? I've done that so many times in my life. And sometimes we can't forget that God's saying, hey, don't forget, I was with you with that lion. I was with you with that bear. I'm going to be with you with that giant. Look at my track record. We've been whooping lions and giants, lions and tigers and bears and fill in the blank together, right? Now we're ready for some giants. And this morning, I want to challenge you. Have you forgotten the good things God has done in your life? You know, back in the Old Testament, what they used to do is they used to have these altars. They used to create these altars of stones. And when you'd walk by, it would be a memorial almost of, oh yeah, God did something good in that person's life. Have you forgotten the things God has done in your life? He's done some good stuff. Sometimes we just got to remember. Man, sometimes we're just so focused on that giant, we forgot, oh yeah, God, you helped me here and here and here and here. Look what the scripture says in Psalm 23. I love this verse. It says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, some of you this morning, you may be walking through a dark valley. Even when we go up against giants, even when we go up against dark valleys, I will not be afraid. It's a choice. Some people say, well, I couldn't control how I felt. That's true, but you can control from that point on. Fear is a choice. We've got to choose to say, you know what? Once I experience this emotion, now I'm not going to let it stay on me. I'm going to choose victory. I couldn't control when it came up in me, but now that I know it's there, I'm going to choose to trust in God. So here's what it says. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff comfort and protect me. I love this. God is with us. We can't forget that. We cannot forget at all that God is with us. You know, when I look back and I look back on my life, I was a youth pastor for about 10 years. And I remember there were times where I was like, man, God, I'm ready for the next step. I'm ready for that next thing. And there'd be times where I just felt like God said, no, you're not. You want to go there, but you think that you can handle that giant, but you're not ready for that yet. You gotta practice on lions. Okay, all right, God. And I didn't like practice on lions. I wanted to go after giants. I wanted to do something great. And God said, okay, great job. You've done some stuff now. You've got some experience. I've been preparing you. Now it's time we're gonna start on bears. All right, let's practice some bigger challenges. But God, I wanna do this. God, I wanna start a church. I wanna lead a church. I love being a youth pastor, but and God's like, hey, you gotta develop some stuff inside of you first. You gotta start practicing attacking bears. Okay, Lord. And as we grow in life, all of a sudden, God prepares us to be able to not only overcome these battles, but to have victory. This morning, God has been setting you up. He's been preparing you for where you're at right now. You may not feel strong, but you're stronger than you realize. You may not feel like you have grit, but you've got more grit than you know. God's been setting you up for success. You are able to overcome this giant. Let's take a look at the next one. As we jump into our second point, the idea is this, that God is going to fight with us. God is going to fight with us. Now, I'm going to do a little illustration real quick. Where are you at, Jason? Where's Jason at? Is he over here? Come on up. I got an illustration. Everybody give it up for Jason. Everybody clap it up. All right. I'm going to give you an illustration of this. Let's pretend Jason is God, okay? Let's pretend God's got a good look. I love this right here, okay? So Jason's going to be God. Now, I want you to picture, what is your giant right now? Picture your giant. And I'm going to put it on the screens real quick, okay? I've got some giants on there just to kind of get us thinking. Your giant may be up there, maybe it's not. But I want you to picture this is the giant that's in your life right now, okay? You know what I've realized? There's a lot of different ways that we approach giants. And I want to give you some things what not to do and what to do, okay? Make this practical in our lives. So here's one of the first things I see. When we see a giant, even though God is with us, remember what the scripture said, he's beside us. You know what some of us do sometimes? We run. We come off stage. I wonder how far this thing will go. This will be interesting. All right. We run away. And what's crazy is God is still here, but we ran away. We saw the giant run, and God's like, hey, what's going on? I'm here with you. I'm ready to fight beside you. But we ran. We threw in the towel. We shouldn't do that. God is beside us. He's ready to fight with us. You know what some of us do, some of our maybe more dominant personalities, we like to fight. We use our willpower. Even though God's beside us, we're like, God, just kind of chill there. I got this one. Put that screen back up. I got this one. All right. I'm going to take this out on our own. And after a while, we realize God's like, what are you doing? Why are you going after that on your own? You've got all the resource and power of God Almighty, yet you're going to try to take it on your own? I love you, but are you crazy? You've got all of that resource, a loving God who is there to help you. Why would you do it on your own? Yet we do that so often, don't we? It doesn't make any sense. You know, I'll tell you another one. I call this the big prayer, the little action. We're over here praying, and all of a sudden we have our giant up there, and we're like, and we just stay here and pray. And these are for our spiritual people. They're like, okay, God, I need your help. I pray for a job, pray for a job. And God's like, hey, I've heard like all 3,000 of those prayers. Love it. I heard every one of them. Now it's time to go do something about it. Now it's time to go send out a resume, right? You've been praying for that job. It's a, hey, you've been praying for, you know, for me to heal you. I am the healer. Here's how I want to do it. I want you to go and I want you to talk to the doctor, right? And sometimes what we do is we got these big prayers, but little action. And God's like, hey, work with me. You know, there are all different types of ways that we respond to this. But the idea is this. The idea is that God is here right now. I'll give you another one just as we kind of wrap this up. Sometimes what we do is we begin to walk towards that giant and we're with God. So let's walk towards this. Let's put that giant back up. We're walking towards it. And at some point, you know what happens? We start getting tired. This is exhausting, God. God, I got you right by my side. Okay, God, I can't do this anymore. And we start backing off. And we were walking with God, right? Everything was good. But we got tired. We got exhausted. It was just too much. And God's like, hey, I'm willing to go the whole way with you. For some of you this morning, the finish line is right there, yet you backed off. And God's saying, jump back on. It's not too late. Some of us think, oh, it's too late. No, God's like, hey, we can come back over here. We can finish this together. We can overcome this giant together. See? Clap it up. God's absolutely. Let me show you a scripture. Let me show you a scripture real quick. It's found in Philippians 4:13. This is a great verse. It says, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. There's a lot of ways we could emphasize that, but the emphasis that I put for this message would be on the word through. Look at the word through. I can do everything through Christ. Not on my own, not apart from God, not just in prayer. I've got to do this through God. God is ready to work with me. He's ready to fight with me. And oftentimes when we work with God and we fight with God, you know what we have at the end? We've got a testimony. Could God do it all on his own? Absolutely. He could do it with just a snap of his finger. So why does he do it like that? We don't always understand the reasons, but does our faith grow in the process? Yes. And we know without faith, it's impossible to please God. God is doing this not for him. He's doing it for our good. Sometimes we don't see it like that, but God loves us so much. He's doing it for our good. Here's our last point as we kind of wrap up. I think a good application. You can be confident this morning. You can be confident because you have a God who goes before you. You can know that this morning. You have a God who's already laid everything out before you. You say, Brandon, what does that mean? Well, let's look at the scripture. Here's what it says. It tells us this. Don't be afraid or discouraged. I love it. It's a choice. Will I be afraid today? Will I be discouraged? I have to choose. No one can choose but me. For the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will never fail you nor abandon you. I love this. God is going before you. I kind of picture it like this. With David and Goliath, he knew exactly how that whole scene was going to work out. Isn't it interesting? Yet he allowed David to go through that. Why not just wipe the giant out? Why not, God, just why'd you do it like that? Because he was growing David's faith. He was helping David learn that he could trust God. This morning, some of you need to know that you can trust God. You may not be able to trust others easily, but you can trust God because the God beside you is greater than that giant in front of you. I want to tell you a story as we close this morning. My wife and I, several years ago, we had encountered a major giant in our lives, and we were not able to have children. And it was something that we wanted. It was something that was on our hearts, and it just wasn't happening. I remember just being so frustrated, just going, what do we need to do? And we went to doctors and specialists and all types of people, and we just took some time, and we prayed on it, and we knew God was beside us in the whole process, and we just trusted him. And I remember the Lord leading us towards going down the adoption route. And months and months and years later, we got certified, and we were going through the process. And I'll never forget one day, even though we wanted to go for adopting kids, we got a phone call and they asked us, would you be willing to foster two kids? These two kids are in a bad situation. Brittany and I looked at each other like, that's not why we got into this. But we prayed about it and the Lord was beside us and he led us. He gave us wisdom. We said, okay, all right, let's do this. So we ended up taking those kids into our home, and boy, was that a reality check, and we learned so much. And I look back on that, and I'm like, I didn't realize it then, but God had gone before me because he knew we needed to develop some parenting skills, right? We needed to develop some grit, We need to develop some patience. We need to develop all kinds of stuff that we thought we had that we realized we really didn't have. And he used that because he goes before us. See, we thought we could just go straight to adoption. And the Lord was like, no, I'm going to help you out. Why? Because he's the God who goes before us. He knows what we need. He doesn't always give us what we want. He has our best in mind. So here's what happened. We ended up going through the process, and we got selected to be in the top two finalists. And we got a phone call just a couple days later, and the person on the other line apologized and said, sorry, you haven't been selected. We chose the other couple. Brittany and I, we wanted to just get down and just collapse. You ever had one of those moments where you're just like, all right, I'm just going to let my body go limp. That's how we felt. But you know what? We knew that God was beside us. We knew that God hadn't taken us up to this point to just leave us. Come on, somebody. We knew that God had orchestrated all of this. So we get a phone call back a couple days later, and the person on the other line was confused. They didn't understand it, but they said, hey, not fully understanding everything that happened, but the people that were supposed to get those children, they backed out. Would you like to adopt those girls? My wife and I looked at each other, and I'm going to be honest, we didn't even pray about it. We're like, yes, okay? Yes, we are going to. And I want to show you a picture of my girls today. Those girls are a miracle. Those girls are a miracle. But can I tell you why that miracle was happened? Because we were willing to go up against some giants. This morning, you may be fighting some giants. You may not even realize it, but the finish line is right there. And God is going to do something so incredible in your life. Once you beat that giant, you're going to look back. You're going to go, man, I'm glad God was on my side. I'm glad God helped me overcome that giant. God is a good God. You know, when I think about everything that happened 2,000 years ago, people said Jesus had died on the cross and everything was over. Yet what they didn't know was that God had orchestrated Jesus' life from the beginning of time. He had orchestrated the whole thing. And when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't just stay dead. The scripture says God raised him from the dead. And today we can have salvation. We can have forgiveness because we serve a God who goes before us. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? This morning, I want to just ask a couple things. And I pray that you hear me, that your heart is open. I want to ask just a couple things. The first thing is this. If you're here this morning, you say, Brandon, I don't have a relationship with God. But I know I want to make that choice today. I want to tell you, you're in the right place today. You didn't just come here by accident. This is your moment. This is your time. There may be others of you this morning, you say, Brandon, I've been to church before. I kind of know this, you know, some of this. It's been a while, but I need to come back to God. If you're here this morning and either of those are you, you say, Brandon, I want to get connected back with God. With just a raised hand this morning, I'd love to pray for you. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Say, Brandon, I'm coming back to God. Brandon, I want to put my faith in God this morning. That's awesome. Hands are going up all over. That's you. God knows your heart today. He sees your hand, but he knows your heart. I'm going to give you just a few more minutes. I'm coming back to God, or I'm going to make that choice today for the first time. It's incredible. A couple people just raised their hands. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. Here's the last thing you'd say. If you're here this morning, you'd say, Brandon, I'm dealing with a giant. Would you pray for me? We're going to overcome this together. If that's you this morning and you want to just pray with me, jump in this prayer, would you raise your hand? Brandon, I'm going to believe that I'm going to overcome this giant. Brandon, would you pray for me? That's awesome. Keep your hand up. We're going to do this together. Hands all over the place. All of us are. All right, let's do this. We're going to pray a prayer together, and I'm just going to ask that you repeat this after me. Everyone say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior, and I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and the one who restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven and I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Let me pray for you real quick. God, thank you for every person that's in this room. I don't believe it's by chance that every person is here, Lord, that I believe there are people here that were supposed to hear this message, God. You're speaking hope to them, God. You're reminding them, God, that you haven't left them, that you are right by their side, God. And for every person here, God, that's up against a giant, God, I pray that they wouldn't just walk out filled with hope, God, but they'd walk out with a conviction, God, to know that you are with them, God, that you've never left them along the lines, God. You're so incredible. You're able to take into account all of our sin and mistakes. mistakes, and yet you still love us, God. Thank you that you never leave us. Thank you that you never forsake us, God. And this morning, God, we're going to trust in you, we're going to lean on you, and we're going to believe, God, that we can overcome giants, God, because we know the God beside us is greater than the giant in front of us, Lord. Thank you for who you are, Jesus. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.